I'm going to attempt this morning to deliver a message. Balaam, a three-time loser. Balaam, a three-time loser. In this day and age, we know about three strikes and being out. Three strikes and you're out. And we read in our opening scripture, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse, holding a form of outward godliness of religion, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. Avoid such people and keep away from them. This is talking about the prophet Balaam. In this last day and time, there'll be a many of people of that spirit of Balaamism. They'll have that spirit of Balaam. And we see Balaam in 2 Peter. We see him in the book of Jude and in the book of Revelation. So we have to look at Balaam as an ism. In other words, it's a system. It's a form. It's an organized system of denial of God, having a form of religion. And I've preached several sermons on Balaam and the enigmatic Balaam. He's an enigma. In other words, Balaam is a man that talked with God, that God talked with Balaam. And he was known as an augur, a sorcerer throughout the region and where he lived. He was a very popular preacher. There's a lot of popular preachers these days that speaks the word of God. But as Jesus warned about the Pharisees, beware of the Pharisees because their doctrine contains leaven. There are a lot of churches and a lot of famous preachers and a lot of people preaching the word of God, but like I said, as it says, some of these people we are to avoid. We are to stay as far away from them as possible, because just like Balaam, a false prophet's job is to preach God's word. Don't have no doubt about it. All of us serve God. You can serve God, and God can call you, and you be born of his spirit. But you could also serve God being the devil. You know, Satan is a servant of God. He's doing the work of God. And a false prophet's job is to preach the gospel, but it's not all the way, all the things in the gospel is false. I was talking to the deacon this morning on the way up here, and I was telling him about this movie Fences with Denzel. You can say right things. You can do right things. But there must be balance in your life. You must keep a check on yourself and your will, your nature, what you're doing. Is it self-promoting? Is it for your benefit? Is it the Spirit of God? See, because we're supposed to be like Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be here to do the will of God. Our body should be a living sacrifice unto God. So Denzel was looking for a self-centered purpose of his life. Even though he was trying to instill right principles in his son, he didn't realize he was a flawed person. See, we have to realize that we are flawed. We are flawed people. There's flaws in us. And I was saying about the wheel, what shapes the wheel, and we've been doing teaching on the wheel, and the wheel composes a whole lot. It's your disposition, your attitude, your nature. It's an inclination. It's a proclivity to do things. All these things makes up a wheel. In other words, you've been shaped and formed by this world and this world system. You were in bondage to Satan. That's what had shaped you, this world. You was born and shaped in iniquity. So there's no such thing as a freedom of free will. You're in the bondage of Satan until Jesus Christ births you into his family, until he releases you. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, to whereby you're able to make a free choice. I don't want to get into determinism and determination, but there's a lot of things bearing on us when we make a determined to do certain things that goes into the process of making that decision. I've talked to you about strongholds in your life, having strongholds, and we have to pull down the strongholds through Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can break that stronghold in your life is the Spirit of God. We're in Numbers, the 22nd chapter, the first verse through Numbers 25th chapter in the 9th verse. Whereas, I could just briefly recap it, and I can't read the whole section. It would be time-consuming and prohibitive. And there are a lot of things we have to do. You remember I told you there's a part that God does, but there's work we have to do? But it's human nature to take the path of least resistance. That's part of things that compose your will, that makes your will. We're talking about this week they had snow days, and children were out several days because the weather conditions didn't permit them to be able to be on the highway to go to school. It wouldn't be safe. They gave the state workers and certain workers days off because of those travel restrictions or whatever. There was a fireman that got killed up in East Louisiana due to those road conditions. A car slid into him or whatever, which is tragic. But in ways, I heard them talking about, but in ways that was misrepresented. But what we have to see is that life shapes us, in that the human proclivity is towards self-pleasure. It's about not denying self, but everything for themselves. Dickens said, well, a lot of people were saying they could have gave us Friday off, you know, and we'd have had a whole folk. But see, that's human nature. You always want more. It's greed. You're saturated. In other words, you didn't got 2 days off. A lot of jobs paid them for those 2 days. I don't know if a lot of them didn't, but there were people on the other hand saying, well, we want to work Friday because they may not necessarily have gotten paid off days. So you had those that were a pleasure. Both of them were seeking things for themselves. The only reason some wanted to work Friday was that it was because them financial hardship. The reason some wanted off Friday, though, it wasn't costing them anything. They was getting paid. The state, a different organization, was paying them for that day, so their flesh wanted it off. That's human nature. That shapes your will. That shapes your character, who you are and everything. Such was the case with Balaam. He wanted the money that Balak offered him to do what he was about to do. And he had talked with God, and he talked to God several times, and God told him not to go, not to do what he was about to do. I have blessed these people, you can't curse them. But because of human nature, because of the human will, we are shaped and we are ambitious people. And you remember I told you some ambition is good and some ambition is wrong. Balaam pressed on to go on and do and talk with Balaam. He felt he was strong enough to go against Balak and speak only what God say do and still be in the will of God. That was a big mistake on his behalf, you know. And God's people, they're continually making mistakes. They continually, their will and what they're doing, their proclivity to do things their way, their determinism. And it's like Balaam, they keep running against a brick wall. Things keep coming in their lives to turn them around, but they're obstinate. They're determined to accomplish what they're trying to do. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end is death and destruction. So a lot of us keep trying to win, even though God causes us to lose. And we're not learning the lesson. We're not stopping and seeing the bigger picture. Balaam didn't see the bigger picture, and he started even talking to the ass in whom he rode on. He can't see himself, is that now he's talking to an animal. He's then got to the point that he's so desperate to get where he wants to go that he's talking with an animal and talking about killing that animal. He's forced to injure the animal he's riding on because of his way. People want their way. You say something against the ways of man, you become man's enemy. The reason the government is shut down this morning, the Republicans has both houses of Congress and a Republican president, but they want their way and the Democrats want their way. So what we have is deadlock. Whenever man's way get in the right, in the way of principles, and each person wanting their way, the reason a lot of marriages come to divorce is each person wants their way. Everybody wants their way. There was a family this week that they called that had tied their children up, and 13 children for several years, because they wanted their way, but they wasn't thinking about the children's way. They were self-centered. They were self-willed. They only thought what they wanted upon for themselves, and they enforced their will upon those children. But we should look at the mind of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let that same mind be in us that was in Jesus Christ. His mind was that he was created in the volume of the book that it was written of him, and he says, thy will I come to do, O Lord. So when the Spirit bursts us again, we'll see that we're created for good works and to do what God had created us to do. It's not our will. We start having to die to ourselves, our desires, our pleasures. So what happened here, Balaam was driven, and that it's the children of Balaam today is still driven. The first point we need to look at here is the way of Balaam. The way of Balaam. What's the way of Balaam? I tell you three things about Balaam. The way of Balaam, 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and the 15th verse says, abandoning the straight road, the road that is the right way to live, they have gone astray, they have followed the way of Balaam. In other words, false teachers, the son of Beor, who love the reward of wickedness. There be many that deny going the straight, that narrow way, and they go the broad way to destruction. Balaam is a picture of that. Those that do not follow God in the letter of the spirit of the law, but they have a broad way of religion. Their religion consumes everything that says you don't have to deny yourself, that you can live and have it all in this life. In other words, they're hireling. In other words, Balaam was a hireling. He was working for money. He wasn't working for God. His disobedience was against God. He was for himself. And that's what this world, that's what this nation, that's all it's about, is itself. It's not about anybody else. It's about self. It's not about godly principles or anything. Now, it has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. In other words, on the outside, it says this is a religious nation. It's like Balaam. He said he followed God, the things of God, but he's denying the power of God. Three strikes here. The way of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam, and the error of Balaam. Balaam went three times when he went with Balak. He built altars in a form of godliness. In other words, he offered up seven bullocks. All these was numerology. It was things that was done in a way of divinity. Three is a number of divinity. So three times he tried to speak something that God had told him not to, but he had a form of godliness because he told Balak, I can only speak that which God give me to speak. And he did that. He was saying what God had told him to say. So false prophets preach and teach the word of God. The problem is their heart's not in it. Their heart's not in it. In other words, they're doing it for other motives. What's their intent? What Balaam's intent was to find a way to accomplish Balak's purpose of cursing the children of God. His motive was money. So he had no spiritual ramifications among his preaching. It was preaching like Jonah. Jonah preached because Jonah's life was on the line. Jonah had got cast into the river. But now he preached the word of God. It was effective word of God. But Jonah didn't care about the people. He was upset when the people did repent. Well, here Balaam is three different times. Balak asked him to perform for him in a religious way. He went and performed this. But in keeping to God, now that's why I say this is a broad road. In other words, it's like the Pharisee. What they say or what you say is scriptural, but you don't understand what you're doing. Balaam, in one of his prophecies, he said, I see them. He says, oh, if I can die the death of the righteous. See, but within that scripture, what a lot of us don't realize, and everybody wants to die the death of a righteous person, but the thing is, nobody wants to live the life of a righteous person. Yes. They don't want to deny self. They don't want to make the sacrifices that's necessary for righteousness' sake, because Jesus Christ is the only one that can give us righteousness for righteousness' sake. Yes. So there are many Balaams of Balaamism out there. There's many a churches and a many a religion in this nation that have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power of God. That's where our opening scripture came from, in 2 Timothy the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse, when it says, but understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days that will be hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection. You remember I was telling you about the parents that had chained their children up and that they were living a sex. In other words, that's insensitive. That's no human affection. So you have to have that love of God shed abroad in your heart. You have to care for other people. Jesus Christ went to the point in telling us to love our enemies, even those that's against us. Viola Davis, in that same movie I was telling you about, she was able to show this. Denzel Washington had committed adultery on her. Denzel Washington had this baby by this other woman. Viola Davis, the principal, was that she looked at the principal. She says, you no longer have a wife. Now, she didn't divorce him, which is in the word of God. You could abide with that husband. But they wasn't going to have intimate knowledge of one another. They no longer had that relationship. But she raised that child. She raised that baby because the baby's mother had died. That baby eventually got through to Denzel's son. That son should go to Denzel's funeral because he was a wicked person. He was wicked in that. But he thought he was right because some of the things he was doing was right. He had gotten himself caught up in something. It's like that Marvin Sisa, one of that blues singer, and he said that he was caught up between two things. He was in a fix there, you know, and he had to make a choice. There was a woman he loved, he was married, and he was in a rock and a hard place. Well, he shouldn't have allowed himself to get there. See, Balaam was in a spot. He shouldn't have allowed himself to get there because God had told him no earlier. See, by human determinism, by wanting to fulfill the lust of the flesh, sometimes we get ourselves in positions we shouldn't get ourselves in. There are consequences for getting in those positions. There are very much consequences. But doing that way of Balaam, continuing reading, it says, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, devoid of self-control, intemperate, immoral, brutal, haters of God, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of outward godliness of religion, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. So instead of living the life of a preacher, instead of living the right way, he wanted to die as the righteous, but he didn't want to live that way. He didn't want to walk as God say walk. He didn't want to be a doer of the word of God. He wanted to preach the word of God. He wanted the rewards that come along with it. But what does the word of God say, Sister Jackson? It says, avoid such people. Keep far away from them. That's what he should have did earlier with the others. For among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate morally weak and spiritually dwarf women, weighed down by the burden of their sins, easily swayed by various impulses. Always learning and listening to anybody who would teach them, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These people, there's no lack of church today. You can turn the television on any station. Everybody you meet, oh, I listen to this preacher, I listen to that, I got the TV on. You go to the house, the television's on a religious station or whatever. Bible's everywhere. But the Bible says ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. See, the reason of that is they don't have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God put faith to work. Faith has works. See, Balaam didn't have works here. Now, he had his own works. He's like the people that meet Jesus in the last days and say, didn't we feed the needy? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do all this in your name? But Jesus said, I never knew you. See, they were self-willed. They were self-driving. Yes. Those three strikes. He said it was three things they were going to be doing, but he said he never knew them. Those three strikes, and they wiped. The way of Balaam will put you outside of God. It says, just as Jannes and Jambres, the court magicians of Egypt, opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men of depraved minds, unqualified and worthless as teachers in regard to the faith. But they will not get very far for their ignorance, for their meaninglessness, nonsense, and ignorance will become obvious to everyone, as was that of Jannes and Jambres. Eventually, you'll see these people who what they are. Yes. Balaam was going along the road, and the angel of the Lord stood before him when he was about to smite the donkey. And the angel of the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and told him what he was going. Now, his eyes was open this day, and he saw the angel of the Lord. But listening at his self-will and his determination, he still pressed on to do what he was going to do. A lot of us have wrong right in our hand and continually to do evil. Now, I was looking for it in the book of Isaiah, the first chapter of Isaiah, the first verse, through the fifth verse. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doeth not know. My people doeth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have all gone away backwards. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. A lot of people are almost in poverty. A lot of them are in poverty. A lot of them in ill health. You're still failing, but you still won't turn to God. You're rebelling consistently, and your will, your determination is still driving you onward in the wrong way, saying, if I can just do this, I'll be all right. God will bless me. But you got a problem there. So Balaam was involved in spiritualism, thinking that building those altars and doing all that would get him closer to God. He had a facade of God. It wasn't God. God tells us not to come to his altar if we have something against our brothers. It says, first get right with your brothers. Well, how can he build altars and then want to speak against the people of God? You can't love God and hate your brother. So that leads to my second point, the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam, which is spoken of in Revelation 2:14. It says, but I have a few things against you because you have there some among you. Now, this is in Church of Revelation. This is the New Day Church. And he's saying, you have some among you there who are holding to the corrupt teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, enticing them to eat things that had been sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of sexual immorality. They keep inviting you to their churches. They keep inviting you to commit sexual immorality with them. And when the Bible talks of sexual immorality, adultery, and fornication in the book of Revelations and more spots in the Bible, a lot of spots in the New Testament, more or less they're talking about spiritual adultery. They're talking about marrying one doctrine to another doctrine. One church believes to another church believes. That's why they're tearing down the walls now and calling themselves non-denominational. That's why they're going into things that cause those divisions, and they're coming up with compromise and tolerance. So a lot of those preachers that you're listening at on television in different places or whatever, you don't know of what actual doctrine they're teaching. They're mixing up the doctrines, and that's where the devil is in the detail there. That's why it says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Yeah. So you're not able to watch all the time and hear everything they're saying. But by following, you're becoming dull of hearing. You can't understand the word of God. In Numbers 31:15-16, Moses said to them, have you let all these women live? Look, these are the women who caused Israelites by the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. So a plague came among the congregations. You're not going to stand this in the last day. But just as he was talking about women there, because like I said, when we're talking about adultery, we're talking about eating and fellowship, sexual immorality, we're talking about religion and spirituality in different churches. So there will be a lot of churches that God says in the last days in the book of Revelation, he was going to fight against the church. So there are people within religions that we will have to be adamant against. We will have to not listen to that. We will have to not tolerate, because their doctrine contains leaven and they have to be killed. Now, we're not going to physically kill these people. I'm not teaching you that. But we have to learn in God how to shut this off, how to allow God to bring to pass their deaths, how God is working that we can't get in the way of God bringing about the demise of this. Now be careful with that. That's why I said, just like I said, I wasn't reading all that, and it's something we have to do. You have to study the Word of God. You have to pray to God. God has to start talking to you. That's why it says, call no man father, for there's one Father in heaven which teaches us. And so we that are spiritual need not have no need of no man teaching us, but we do keep to the Word of God, so we know not to become independent as a lot of them are, because we know the Word of God says, forsake not the assembling together yourself. We know that God put together the church. There's a structure to the church, but you need to be reading and studying the Word of God. You need a concordance at home. You need a dictionary at home. You need to get all these things so each and every day you're in God's Word, preparing yourself, having your feet shod with the preparations of the gospel of peace. More of the church, listen to that, garbage on television, all kinds of other things, instead of getting that alone time, meditating on God's Word, studying in the Word of God. So no matter how close it's your brother, sister, mother, father, whoever they be, it might be time for them to drop out of the race. There will be a lot of people get buried that's in the church. We can't help that. We love them or whatever, but it wasn't designed for them to continue on in the race. They wasn't strong enough. There'll be a lot of people of God, if we try to keep in all these people in, praying against God's will or whatever, they could become a weight, a burden to us. And it's like one of my neighbors the other day was telling me about him and his brother. He helped his brother so much in doing all these things. You know, he do for his brother and spend money for his brother. He's constantly helping his brother. And he said, well, Rip, I do all this for that boy. I do this and do that. I'm letting him stay down in the house down there. And then he came in and he said this about a bike. And he throws the bike up on the porch. And all I do for that boy, me and him start arguing however. And then, you know, because I heard him out there arguing or whatever, I just didn't go out there because both of them was wrong. But he got to the point where he went in the house and got his gun and took a shot at his brother. So when he was telling me about it, I said, now, let me tell you this. You say this. Now, what you're doing, let me show you. That's why I told you self-will gets in our way. Yes. You can help people so much. And that person's not doing what you want them to do. So you remember I told you about Balaam becoming forceful and wanted to kill his donkey or whatever?
Yes.
To his brother wasn't doing or acting the way he wanted him to do. So he's going to kill his brother, force his brother to do what he wanted him to do to honor or worship him, right? That he wanted the brother to jump when he say jump or do this. I said, well, your brother's a free agent. He might not understand what you understand or whatever. So the thing for you to did was a long time ago was to leave him alone. Because it wasn't up to you to be your brother's keeper in that case if you wasn't strong enough. You're wicked. If you kill your brother, they're going to send you to jail and then God's going to damn you in hell. You worse than Cain who murdered Abel. It would have been better to say, well, look, brother, me and you don't get along and ain't no use in us doing this or doing this thing. Let's just depart as friends.
Yes.
And each time you see one another, you love one another, but we don't roll that way anymore because we don't get along together. I'm going to end up hurting you or you end up hurting me. It is better to separate. That's what Paul said. It's better to leave your wife or divorce your wife than to stay there and do like this guy, kill her and her relatives. The guy killed four people and left and his mother harbored him. Well, she was wrong because you have to face the music for you. But sometimes we have to realize our brother, our wife, because Jesus told us that your enemies will be those in your own house.
Amen.
They might not understand. They might have problems that you don't have. And they might not be going the same place you're going. They might not hold the same position you go. So we all not going to have the same relationship we have here on earth. We all going to be one in Christ Jesus. But God's preparing us now for the serve God by doing his word. That's what the doctrine of Balaam shows us. So Moses had to kill those women. Don't save any of them. In other words, these churches and these people that's teaching religious error has to die. Balaam had to die. He taught religious error. The doctrine was error. In the book of John, 1 John, it says, don't even let these people into your house that if they have not this doctrine, not this teaching. So that's why I said we have to be aware of doctrine. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, so we have to stand up to those that oppose the teachings of Christ. That oppose the spirit. That's the only way we can get strong. The reason a lot of us are weak, we're too passive, and we allow people to slander and belittle our God because we're timid, we're scared, we're not a warrior. Jesus showed this when he went into the temple and ran those out, the money changers, because it says, my father's house is a house of prayer. But we have to be able to stand up for God and do what God had call us to do. We can't abrogate our duties of God. For God we live and for God we die. If our wife, if our mother, if our whatever. God tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, if the brother that you was raised with, if he come and try to make you worship or teach any other god to you, you're to take him out and the whole village is to stone him to death. When Jesus tell you the severity of the word, he said, it's better if your hand offend you to cut it off. If your eye offend you to pluck it out. But such is the kingdom of God. That has to be the will. To serve God and to please God. Anything offensive to God we get back from. Numbers, I think it is, Again, the Numbers, the 22nd chapter, and the 5th verse, he says, you know, that's about where Balak had sent the messengers to Balaam to come and curse the people that was opposite to him. So you have to search out, what are the motives of Balak doing this? He didn't examine why he was going doing what he was doing. If he had studied and he knew the word of God and had the spirit of God, Balak didn't have really anything to worry about. Because God had told them that not to cross his land, not to cross Moab's land, because they were brothers of them, they were Lot's children. He wasn't going to give them of that land. See, we turn against people, we turn against things because our enemy's enemy is our enemy. Our enemy's enemy shouldn't be our enemy. They should. If you're going around making enemies, that's your problem. Jesus told me to love all men, even my enemy. So he engaged in trying to curse or throw stumbling blocks before the feet of people he didn't even know. He didn't understand. He was a hireling. He was working for money, but he didn't understand the word of God. That's why I told you, if you would study Jephthah's message, when Jephthah was called to fight for Israel to come and save Israel, they had rejected Jephthah. But when Jephthah came to the kings before they went to war, as with any nation, God tells us to try diplomacy first. Jephthah went in with diplomacy and told them why they had the land and the other people didn't have the land. But see, the man couldn't listen at reasoning. He couldn't face the truth and the facts of the truth, and so he went to war. So we should realize what God's word says. We should find out what God wants in the matter. Obedience to God is chief. It's better to obey than to make sacrifice. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And you can't curse those God had called, hadn't cursed. You can't bless those that God had cursed. So you can't change God. You can't change what God's doing. Only we change, not God. So the money and the riches Balaam wanted, after these three strikes, Balaam finally gave counsel to them on how to destroy them. And it was with this intermingling with them that we read in chapter 25 what the counsel he gave in Numbers. It's Numbers 25. It says that's because at the end of the 24th chapter, you see where Balaam had went back to his own place, but he stopped at a place. Let's look at that. The 24th chapter of Numbers, it says, and Balaam rose and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. But what Balak did was stopped. Go to chapter 25. It says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. You take all the leaders and you chop their heads off and hang them up to God. You destroy all these churches, all these women, all these people that had went in and did the wrong thing on the advice of Balaam. Because Balaam had gave this advice after those three strikes and he were out. He left. He couldn't do what God didn't want him to do. After he spoke those three times, and God, each time he pronounced a blessing, Balak said, stop, don't curse him or bless him. You go on about your business. Balaam had enough sense to see they wasn't getting anywhere. When Balaam turned, he stopped, and Balak went with him, and they stopped. Balak said, but oh, look, let me tell you another thing what you can do to him. Let me tell you how you can trap him. Now, this was from human reasoning. See, this is the error of Balaam. That's where we error when we start to think, when man starts to reason or ration things out. His was that they would go in and intermingle with Balaam, with the children of Israel, sleep with them. Woe to them. This is Darrell. This is my last point. Woe to them, for they have gone the defiant way of Cain, and for profit they have run headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of mutinous Korah. So that's the error of Balaam. Balaam's error, listen closely, was reasoning from natural morality and seeing the evil in Israel. As we see the evil in this nation, he supposed a righteous God must curse them. Like the people was talking about New Orleans, about how the gay pride march and immorality, that God must destroy people. And that's about the things in his day. He supposed a righteous God would have to curse if he destroy them. He was blind to the higher, listen at this though, what he was blind to the higher morality of the cross of Christ, through which God maintains and enforces the authority and offers sanctions of his law. That God is in charge. That if God had, he's able to change, he's able to manage, he's sovereign over his creation. That you can't put God in a situation, as some churches say, well, we could command God. We could put ourselves in a position where God would have to do this. That's why a lot of people think just praying to God and praying to God is going to change God. No, praying to God lines you up with the will of God. It lines you up with what God's doing in your life. We can't change God. That's one of the attributes of God, that he's unchangeable. Yes. That's one of the attributes of God. So that he can, see, God can be just and justify of an unbelieving sinner. Yes. In other words, those that believe, God can help their unbelief. Amen. If you believe in God and you have doubt and you're not double-minded, God, through God, he gives you the will to do. Yes. See, God, through his spirit, imputes his will to us. And if you believe and trust in him, God, as the judge, he can justify those that he says just. You remember I told you justification of the believer. But when you are justified by God, what happens then, God sends you on through a process, a journey in which he sanctifies you. Yes. In which he sets you apart. There's a consecration of God's people, but Balaam thought here for profit that by intermingling with God's people, that by marrying, or this woman, this man getting married, or these people coming together in this church, or the nation coming together as one, that don't defeat the purposes of God. See, man can't thwart God's purposes. God can call one out of a family, can call one out of a city, or a nation. God is sovereign. He does what he wanted to. The era of Balaam thought that God had to work by a human reasoning or rationale. Whereas God has a higher standard than us. Our ways are not like God's ways. Our thoughts are not like God's ways. Now when it says there for profit, profit doesn't necessarily mean money. It could mean popularity, fame, or applause. There are a lot of popular preachers that have abrogated their duties to God. They've set aside the principles of God, his precepts and statutes, and became very popular. That's what Satan wanted of Jesus. He says, if you would bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. So a lot of people, to get big churches, to get a lot of following, to get fame and wealth, they've cast aside the principles of God. But see, they're going to end up as Balaam did, and that's dead. They will end up as Balak with three strikes. The seducer, a temptress, anyone through lasciviousness or putting off of something draws the human or natural person to them, will in effect, they're sowing to the flesh and they shall reap to the flesh. And the wages of sin is death. Their intent wasn't spiritual. Their intent was to gain something of this world, and they'll lose their life. That's why it says, the gain the world, you can gain the world and lose your life. And the world is the enemy of God. So here's our conclusions. As we close, I tried to apply these as we go, and I was trying to make an application as we go. Hopefully you got those. But wrong doctrine. What should just a good person have done when you hear wrong doctrine? If you study, like I said, you have to study God's word, know God's word, not become dull of hearing. He should have said, go back to your own master and not even listen to him. Don't come back here the second time. Don't knock on my door. Don't ask me no more. He should have stood firm, remained steadfast. See, if you firm in your belief, as Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Satan's not going to keep coming up to you. He's tenacious. God's going to allow him, but after then, instead of tests, there'll be trials. In other words, God cannot be tempted. So if you're tempted, it's not of God, it is something in you. But if you fulfill yourself with Jesus Christ, if Satan has nothing in you, you can resist the devil because you've drawn close to God. The only way it's a temptation to do these things is Satan see that wickedness in yourself. You remember I told you Denzel had the wickedness in himself. Well, Viola Davis won an Oscar for that role because the enemy wasn't in her. She was out to do good. See, we have to cast self out. If you're serving self, if you're trying to serve your purposes, none of her purposes was fulfilled. In that movie, when she listed what she wanted to do in life, what she gave up in life, she hadn't achieved because she didn't want to reach out the illegitimate way. Denzel reached out to illegitimate ways to receive what he wanted in life, and he didn't continue to make the sacrifice. Balak didn't continue to make sacrifice. He had been talking to God, but he was in shallow ground. Don't live all your life and allow someone else for that one moment of pleasure, for that little pleasure, sell your soul. Sell it for money, popularity, fame, or anything else. Sell it for the satisfaction of the flesh. You have to tell those people to get away from around me. He says in 1 John, I told you, it says, 2 John 10 and 11 says, if any comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, that's the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Creed. He says, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. He who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Don't say, God bless you, brother. Don't greet him or bless him in his evil ways. And you saying you hope he's successful with somebody else. You have to stand for God. Job didn't cave in to his three friends. They come in threes. Three is the number of divinity. He didn't cave in to what they was saying, even though some of it was what God says. They didn't understand God. Their hearts wasn't in it. Yes. Even a false prophet, remember that. A lot of preachers and things preaching God's word and everything. But that's his job, is to preach God's word, even though he a false prophet. That was Balaam's job, was to speak. Those three times he spoke what God had told him to speak, that was his job. The devil has a job to do, even though he'd be burning in the lake of fire, he has a job to do. That don't mean you have to follow him. That's a broad way. You're going the broad way. And I told you in Numbers 38 where they kill Balaam with the sword. Go in and kill them all. Because you want life everlasting. Balaam, by not walking in God, not living the life of the righteous, if you live as you want to die, a righteous person, the fruit of the Spirit will develop in you. You become temperate, grave, and self-control. You have a zeal for the knowledge of God, but it's according to knowledge. Balak didn't have it according to knowledge. In the book of Proverbs, you read where you can't be controlled by your passions and your human spirit. There is a spirit in man. That's why a lot of people, they just seem like they don't have the will to live. That's because the human spirit has to die. a lot of people just don't have that desire. They don't have that energy. As you see people getting old, they lose that desire, that vim, that zeal. But you still see some people in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and 100s, like Moses, I could climb that mountain. I can do this. They're in a wheelchair. I could do this because their spirit's alive. See, but what people think that they have an immortal soul, no, you don't. God says the soul that sinned shall die. But when his spirit is joined with your spirit, when he comes into you, he gives you eternal life. That's why God's people, no matter how much pain or suffering in, they learn not to complain. They learn to control their spirit. God gives them that. You won't, no matter what circumstances come or go, you won't hear them murmuring and grumbling and complaining because they've been walking with God. They always try and exhort and lift you up. No matter how far down they are, they try to exhort and lift you up. In Proverbs, it says, he that rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city. Ruling one's spirit involves self-discipline. Self-discipline is willing yourself to do the right thing, regardless of feelings. It may not be glamorous, but it's the stuff that's life made of. And the only way that you can be willing to do this is that God makes you willing. But if you keep on in your way, you out. Balaam was out. Three strikes and he was out. A three-time loser. But see, a good man could fall at seven times and keep getting up. But see, you have to die. You have to keep mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Heavenly Father, as we come before you,